have to share a story that goes along with what Billy told this morning. Back in the 1970s, I don't remember specifically when they came, but we had a couple by the name of May and Denzel Holness. I know they were here by September of 1973 because their daughter, Jackie, was born just a few days before our son, Dane, at Hadley Hospital. And Jackie had this beautiful dark skin and a full afro, and the nurses would put little bows in her hair, and she could arch her back and lift her head up and literally touch her feet to the back of her head. Seriously. And then there was Dane. Dane was pasty white, this big blob. He weighed 9'2". Jackie was around 7 pounds, and he was totally bald. And the nurses put them next to each other in the nursery window, and they referred to them as Ebony and Ivory. Yes, Ebony and Ivory. And May told me one time when we were visiting, she said, "You Americans, you love everything from French fries to your husbands." So obviously in Jamaica, they have more than one word for love. Perhaps like me, some of you older folks, and that sort of means most of us, were blessed by the Love Is cartoons. The cartoons were created by New Zealander Kim Casale as little love notes to express her feelings for her husband, Roberto Casale. Those love notes became the Love Is syndicated comics of a little naked boy and girl. The panels were first launched in Los Angeles Times in 1970. Okay, here's one of them. Love is not leaving the bathroom in a mess. You got that, husband? Okay, let's see the next one. Love is loaning her your car. Remember some of these? Love is not picking the most expensive dish on the menu. And love is doing it your way. Many years ago, Ron and I were actually at a wedding at Wilson Lake, and the young couple left the wedding ceremony and walked down to the lake, jumped on a jet ski, and took off across the lake on a jet ski. Yeah. She had also planned, she wanted to have her bridesmaids just wear bathing suits, but that was nixed very quickly because her matron of honor was her grandmother. And she refused. Well, in 1975, Kim and Roberto selected Bill Ospreay to take on writing and drawing those cartoons. The next year, in 1976, Roberto passed away, and Kim passed away in 1997. So their son, Stefano, inherited his mom's legacy, and Ospreay continued creating the cartoons. In 1978, the UK's leading national newspaper, The Mail on Sunday, asked Ospreay to create a color comic strip. It was at that point that the couple appeared with clothes. Kim loved the new look, and the cartoon ran like that until the paper closed down its comic strip section. But for those of you who might still like those, Ospreay now publishes daily panels on his website, and there, artfulospreycartoons.co.uk/love-is/. So you can check those out. Now, most of those Love Is comics show love in action, but some of them fell a bit short. As I recall, there was one that said, "Love means never having to say you're sorry." I see some heads nodding. That certainly would not meet the biblical standards of agape. As I researched the concept, I realized how very far short I fall of exhibiting it. I found an excellent definition by Alyssa Rote, a contributing writer for Christianity.com. Agape could be defined as charity. However, we often think of charity nowadays as giving away money or things, which doesn't encompass all of what agape is about. Agape love is unconcerned with the self and concerned with the greatest good of another. Agape isn't born just out of emotions, feelings, familiarity, or attraction, but from the will and as a choice. Agape requires faithfulness, commitment, and sacrifice without expecting anything in return. This is the type of love the Bible speaks about the most. The New Testament references agape over 200 times. To the Greeks, proper agape meant a general empathy or loving kindness for all people. The early Christians were indeed expected to care for all in the name of Christ. But Christianity took this a step further. Biblical writers used God as the standard for agape. Agape love in the Bible is love that comes from God. God's love isn't sentimental. It's part of his character. God loves from an outpouring of who he is. As 1 John 4:8 states, God is love, agapos, meaning he is the source of agape love. His love is undeserved, gracious, and sacrificial. She continues, we are to love God and others with agape love. Agape is a choice, a deliberate striving for another's highest good, and is demonstrated through action. God set the standard for agape love in sending Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. Now, I think it's unfortunate that in our English language, we do not have a word that speaks with such power. One of the greatest scriptures about love comes from 1 Corinthians 13. It addresses what love is and what it isn't. It's interesting to note that Paul placed this section of scripture right in the middle of speaking about gifts of the Spirit, and that the body of believers, each with different gifts, are one body. That is chapter 12. Then we have the love chapter, chapter 13. Chapter 14 begins, pursue this love. Those in the early church had begun to attach a much greater significance to certain of the gifts, especially that of speaking in tongues. And Paul inserts here in this chapter that the highest and the best gift is love. And I will be reading starting with chapter 13, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. If I speak with the eloquence of men and of angels, but have no love, I become no more than blaring brass or crashing cymbal. If I have the gift of foretelling the future and hold in my mind not only all human knowledge, but the very secrets of God, and if I also have that absolute faith which can move mountains, but have no love, I amount to nothing at all. If I dispose of all that I possess, yes, even if I give my own body to be burned, but have no love, I achieve precisely nothing. That's the Phillips version. Now, Paul may have been thinking of the heathen worshipers when he speaks of blaring brass or crashing cymbals. Often their worship included clashing cymbals, loud drums, and screeching flutes, all used in an effort to appease and manipulate their gods. That action, of course, was worthless. Without love, no matter what spiritual gift God has given us or what action we take, it will be worthless as well. It will be nothing but empty noise. All the gifts are good things, but none compare to love. Continuing with verse 4. Love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful. It is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked, nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices in the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. And that's from the New Amplified Version. You will note that this love is described with action words. These aren't just concepts. Knowing that God is love, we can actually substitute Jesus' name wherever the word love occurs here. And in doing that, I felt even more strongly how far short of Jesus' example I fall. Love is patient. And we could say Jesus is patient. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The patience that he shows to us is what we should extend to others. Love is kind, or Jesus is kind. Our kindness will be seen in our actions, helping the widow and orphan, the elderly, the single mom with children, the hungry, helping build a home for Habitat for Humanity, reaching out to the stranger, regardless of status, religion, skin color, country of origin, or citizenship status, regardless of whatever makes someone other. We are to walk across that road as the Good Samaritan did and extend our hand, remembering that whatever we do for the least of these, we have done for Jesus. At this point, Paul begins to address what love is not. Love is not jealous or envious. And turning green with envy is not too becoming of Christians. Sadly, we all experience it. I know I certainly have. A co-worker is promoted over you even though you have seniority and better credentials. A friend gets a big raise while your income stagnates. A neighbor purchases that 300,000-foot turn-of-the-century home you have drooled over for years, while you struggle to pay rent in a far too small two-bedroom. And just like the Corinthian church, we may find ourselves coveting another's gift within the church body, whatever that gift might be, and we simmer with envy. The heart that does not envy is always willing that others be preferred before them. A. Clark, in his commentary on Corinthians, says, "Many persons cover a spirit of envy and uncharitableness with the name of godly zeal and tender concern for the salvation of others. But they find fault with all. Their spirit is a spirit of universal censoriousness. So critical, they find something wrong in everything. None can please them, and everyone suffers by them. These destroy more souls by tithing mint and cumin than others do by neglecting the weightier matters of the law. Such persons have what is termed, and very properly too, he says, sour godliness. I kind of like that term, sour godliness. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. Love doesn't have a swelled head. It isn't focused on the self. It focuses on the needs of others. Love is not rude. It is kind and has good manners. No road rage, no middle finger salutes. Love is not self-seeking. Philippians 2:4 emphasizes this. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Clark says of self-seeking, love is never satisfied but in the welfare, comfort, and salvation of all. That man is no Christian who is solicitous for his own happiness alone and cares not how the world goes, so that himself be comfortable. Love is not provoked, overly sensitive, or easily angered. And when I put Jesus' name in there, I was relieved. Jesus is not provoked, overly sensitive, or easily angered. It is easy to get annoyed and irritated with others who are a continual thorn in our sides. Moses was kept from the promised land because he became provoked at the people of Israel. And this takes place in Numbers 20, verses 2 through 11. If you recall, the Israelites were thirsty, and they were whining that it would have been better for them to have died in Egypt. And Moses and Aaron prayed, and God told Moses to take up the staff and speak to the rock. Instead, Moses struck the rock twice, and water burst forth. God was not happy with Moses' actions. I think the lesson here is that we need to ask ourselves what gets under our skin. Friend, family, or foe. And we need to work toward love. And I think we all have that one person, perhaps, that does get to us. Love does not take into account a wrong endured. I thought in present day language, we should not keep a desktop folder of wrongs committed against us. Love should let go of the hurts of the past rather than cling to them. And that is no easy task. I don't think we are asked to forget, because that's almost impossible for us as humans. But I believe we are to give and not focus on that wrong. Love does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. We should never rejoice when injustice occurs. For example, there are those, and a couple of them just recently in this past week, that we hear about on the national news, individuals who have been jailed for decades for crimes they did not commit. Truly an injustice. Some would have rejoiced when they were convicted, believing they were guilty and really wanting them to suffer. But now we can rejoice that those convictions are rightly overturned. Benson says in his Bible commentary, love takes no pleasure to see an adversary fall into an error or sin by which his reputation should be blasted and his interest ruined. On the contrary, the man influenced by this love is truly sorry for either the sin or folly of an, even an enemy takes no pleasure in hearing or repeating it, but desires it may be forgotten forever, but rejoices in the truth. Good, in general, is its glory and joy, wherever diffused through the world. While it brings forth its proper fruit, holiness of heart and life, with constancy and perseverance. And now Paul addresses what love does, starting in verse 7. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times. Love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. It is, in fact, the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen. For if there are prophecies, they will be fulfilled and done with. If there are tongues, the need for them will disappear. If there is knowledge, it will be swallowed up in truth. For our knowledge is always incomplete, and our prophecy is always incomplete. And when the complete comes, that is the end of the incomplete. When I was a little child, I talked and felt and thought like a little child. Now that I am a man, my childish speech and feeling and thought have no further significance for me. At present, we are men looking at a puzzling reflection in a mirror. The time will come when we shall see reality whole and face to face. At present, all I know is a little fraction of the truth. But the time will come when I shall know it as fully as God now knows me. In this life, we have three great lasting qualities: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them is love. May we truly seek love.
You've been listening to Jenny Strait at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.